Pastor Randy and Pastor Lisa asked me about a month ago if I would dedicate David unto the Lord. And that's a great responsibility, and it's a great honor for myself to be able to do such a thing. And I've meditated on this over time, and I've thought, you're a pastor, your child's dedicated, but I bring a challenge to you today as a brother in the Lord to you guys, to your whole family, and to your family that you have out here as well, that there is nothing greater to raise up a precious child in the way they should go. And so from the bottom of my heart, I thank the two of you for standing up as a man of God and for standing up as a woman of God to rear your children in the way they should go and to set this child out on a correct path, on that narrow, straight path that's lined up with what Jesus would have done for us. Right now, David rests before you in the very perfection of what God has intended all of us to be. This precious child, David, is without sin. He's pure. And he's looking for his mother and father to take care of him. And there will be a time in his life where he's going to be seeking that his heavenly Father take care of him. But we all know that currently right now, he is doing that very such thing. Pastor Randy and Pastor Lisa, I have a scripture the Lord gave me for the two of you. And this is out of Deuteronomy 6, starting at verse 4. And it says, "Listen, Randy and Lisa, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them around your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Remember the words of the Lord, to love him always, all the days of your life, and take that challenge of the Lord and tell it to your precious children and tell it to David. David Augustus James Larson. Mighty strengthening names there. If you can hand David over to Stephanie, please. Everybody's got to get a beautiful picture of this young man here. My friend. David, I anoint your head with oil, and I plead and I pray Psalms 23 over you. David, my child, I want you to know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are precious in the sight of God, and that he knew you, David, before you were even formed in your mother's womb. As your name says, I pray that you will be that mighty man of God. And I prophesy this day, David, that you will be known as David in the Bible, a man after God's own heart. Amen. We declare that today in Jesus' name. Church body, if you can stand with me. And let's just pray for David and his family. Almighty Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful child and this beautiful family. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have instilled in his parents to raise him up and their other children up in the way that they should go. Father God, we pray for complete protection over David's life right now. Father, we pray that there would be a protection of his glorious innocence, Father God. We pray for that relationship that knows no other, there's no other kind like it, that he may have it with you. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that Josh and Bella, as they even also grow up as brother and sister to you, David, that they will help in the training of you, and that they would stand fast in what parents have already taught them, and that is to love you, O God, with all your heart, and that we shouldn't lean on our understanding but acknowledge you. And so, Father, on this day, I thank you, Lord, that David Augustus James Larson is dedicated to you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's like that Lion King moment. I present to you David Augustus James Larson, mighty man of God. And so what we have may be seated if you wish, are a few things. The first thing we have is a certificate for David that just says that he has been dedicated before the Lord. Also, what we have is a letter to you, Randy and Lisa, about the dedication. And then this one here, I have not sealed. You may read it, but David should not read it until he's 13 years of age. So put it someplace safe, seal it up, and on his 13th birthday, have him read this about his dedication this day before the Lord. And then this gift is presented to you for David. And you can open it up if you wish to show it. And this is made by the body here, precious believers. And now you can reuse the trash bag too. Yeah. Yeah. So, love you and thank you. Be blessed. Do you have anything you wanted to say?
Just thank you guys very much. You know, you guys have been supportive of us throughout this whole pregnancy and everything that what entailed it. And our whole time here, you guys have been nothing but supportive to us. And we just want to thank you guys for being behind us, for supporting us, for pushing us forward, and making us better pastors. You guys are an amazing group of people to be connected with. I count myself blessed every morning when I wake up and know I got to come be with you guys on Sunday morning. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. All right. Are the children going out today? You are. At this time, we'll go ahead and dismiss the children. Be blessed and listen to the teachers. So, for those of you who are in here today and you're going, wait, you preached last week. Pastor Weldon's supposed to preach today. Sorry. Started a series, and I'm going to continue in that series for a little bit here. And what it is, it's been called Break the Tool. Today is the third part of that series of Break the Tool. It's just a place where God has poured into my heart. The first part of that in Breaking the Tool, first before I go there, let me just build the emphasis for those who haven't heard or been here, is that I've stated in the past If you're in a hole, quit digging. And the Lord was showing me that, you know what? The only way to quit digging the hole that you're in is to break the tool that you're using to dig that hole in the first place. And so the first thing I brought up real quickly was just that we need to trust. And so the tool that we need to break in our life is mistrust or distrust. And that's hard for many, but I believe once you get to that place, it starts to build a road for you to follow the rest of the way. And then last week I talked about breaking the tool of self-justification. And in there I got very transparent and brought some things. The bottom line in that whole message last week that I hope you understood out of the process is that none of this, none of our justification is worth anything. It's the justification that we have in our faith through Jesus Christ. That is the only justification that means anything. And so today I wanted to bring to you the message of what tool to break, and that tool is a tool that many of us have difficulty in many times because we're very performance-oriented people, amen? We believe that we have tasks to do in life, and that if we don't do these certain tasks in life, that we're going to not be as good as we could be or once were. And so what I want to break today is performance pressure. What happens is, in the body of Christ even, many times we feel like we have to perform, and we get very, very pressured in this. We get pressured to the point where many times it causes us to fall and revert back to where we used to be before we even knew in the Lord, because we came so hard upon ourselves. Performance pressure is huge. And so we start to look at ourselves when we're not performing the way that we should be performing, and we start to evaluate ourselves, and we start to come down on ourselves, and we start to judge ourselves in a way that takes us out. I knew I couldn't do it. I'm just not good enough. Sometimes your parents, as you were growing up, even told you, you're not going to amount to anything. You're just not good enough. But we serve a bigger God than that. Our Father in heaven says you are good enough and you are precious in His sight. And yet still, we try to perform. Yet still, we try to do things to please other people around us, and many times find ourselves faltering or failing in that. And it takes us out each and every time. The way the Lord presented this to me was in a story of a game. Who's ever gone to see a game? Who's ever gone to see the game of Little League or the game of my daughter's play volleyball? Go watch a high school volleyball game. You ever seen that? You know? And so this is the way the Lord laid it out to me, and I want you to hopefully get this and understand this. There's a team, and the team has a coach, yes or no? Okay. And there's also the fans in the stands, yes or no? All right. So what happens is the first team I want to talk about is the winning team. So you've got a team that's out there. We'll say it's the Merrill Vandals, since I'm from Merrill. And they're out on the court, or they're out on the field, whatever game it may be, but out there playing that game. And the coach has built them up and tried to train them. Listen to what I'm saying, please. The coach has tried to train them and has placed expectations on them and has said, this is how you need to do it so that it works out. And they get out on the field or on the court and they start to play this game, and they're playing against the opponent. They're playing against the opposing team. And they start to just really, really do good. And nothing can fail. Everything, they're spiking the ball, they're making the basket, they're hitting home runs, they're kicking field goals, they're running touchdowns, whatever it is, whatever game it is, they're winning. And the people in the stands are doing what? Yeah, good job, way to go, keep it up, you're awesome, I knew you could do it. And the coach on the sideline is going, that's my team, all right. And he's rooting them on. And he almost even sits down at times because he's like, yeah, they're doing so good, they don't even need me. And they're getting praised from the stands. And they're getting praised from the coach. And they're getting praised from their other teammates. performance. Pressure to perform. And in this game, they performed like no other. They did excellent. They did amazing. And then you got the next week. Mind you, when this game ends, the coach comes up and says at the end, "Very good. Good job. You did excellent. But I want you to know," we bring that warning, the preparation. "I want you to know next week's team, they're really, really tough. They have not lost a game all season, and you're going up against them. You need to perform the same way you did today next week." And so they go into the game the following week. And as they go into this game the following week, they start to fumble the ball. They strike out. They miss the serve. They miss the basket. Whatever game it is, remember. And all of a sudden, the fans that were rooting them on and had their back last week are now starting to say, "What's going on? Take them out of the game, coach." High school sports, and they're even looking at their neighbor and they're going, "I can't believe the coach. I can't believe the coach didn't take him out yet. I can't believe this is happening. Oh my gosh, how did you miss that ball? It was right there in front of you. How did you miss it?" And we start to get very, very critical. And we start to lash them with our tongue that brings life and death. And we start to kill the individual or individuals even as a team, because they did not perform to the expectation that man had laid out before them. Come on. And then the coach sees one of their players doing bad, and so they grab him, and they pull him off, and they sit him on the bench. And they said, "I knew I never should have put you in to begin with. You know what? Next week you're going to sit out the next two. You're going to sit out next week's game. And if I am really, really gracious, maybe you'll get in the following one, but maybe not. It depends on how we're doing, because if we're doing really bad, I'm not going to play you anymore, because we definitely don't want to lose. We want to win." And so what starts to happen, maybe you've even been in this boat before in real life. The person that got sat down or the team that got lambasted, they want to perform well because they want to please the coach. They want to perform well because they want to please the audience, the fans. But they still find themselves losing, and they still find themselves not able to do it. And so next thing you know, they're not sitting on the bench anymore. They've thrown in the towel. And they said, "You know what? I can't do this anymore." And they walk away from the team. They walk away from that commitment because they weren't able to perform to the standards of a man or fans. And they revert right back to where they were before they even came to God, or where they were before they even came to the team. I hope you're seeing the parallel I'm trying to get you to see. And so that's the natural. In the spiritual realm, what's going on is the coach is saying, "You could do it, you could do it, you could do it." And then all of a sudden, you're not doing it. And I saw myself grabbing you by the collar and saying, "What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? Why can't you get it? For 15 years, we've spoke the word of God into your life. Why can't you get it?" And God grabbed a hold of me and said, "What are you doing? You ain't got it." And I said, "But Lord, I didn't sin today." And he says, "But your perfection is this dirty rags to me. It's my perfection in Christ Jesus that matters. It's your perfection in Christ Jesus that matters. I am as filthy rags." And we all are. You have got to understand the finished work of the cross. You've got to understand what Jesus Christ did for us. Last week I said, when God looks down on you, he doesn't see you as the one who was sinning and as the one who was useless and hopeless and the one who failed or the one that didn't perform to expectations. that didn't follow his law exactly 100% of the time. No, he looks down and he sees Christ in you. He sees you covered by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says that we're kings, but why are we kings? Because God looks down and sees the King of Kings on us. It says we're priests, but why are we priests? Because God looks down and sees the high priest upon us. He calls us his children, but why? Because when he looks down, he sees his son. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says that Christ is being made in us, or in our image. We're being made in his image, if you will, is what it says. We're being made in his image. Not already made in his image. Being made in his image. Why does God look down and see the finished work of Jesus on you as a believer? Because it's covered you. The blood of Jesus, that one-time sacrifice is enough for your salvation. That one-time sacrifice is enough for your victory. And so I stand up here today, free in Jesus Christ, but owing you an apology. I've been told, don't ever apologize from the pulpit. That's wrong. That's wrong. I stand as a man before you apologizing to you for trying to conform you to my standards. I will never apologize for trying to strengthen or encourage. But forgive me, church, for coming down on you because you couldn't keep some sort of performance measure. When your performance and my performance are as filthy rags without Jesus Christ, our perfection, church, lies in him and him alone. And that brings complete freedom. Until you see it, until you understand it, you will be lost and wavering, trying to perform to a place where you're pleasing other people all of the time. Do you see, once you get the revelation understanding of God's grace in your life and that he sees you as a child because of the finished work of the cross, I don't want to do wrong. I don't want to do bad because I'm free and I'm not trying to do 1, 2, 3, 4. If it was the law of God that saved us, Jesus would have never had to come. But it's not the law of God that has saved us. So I've said over and over and over again, you're victorious. You're more than a conqueror. You can do all things. We've got to finish the sentence. Our victory's in Christ Jesus. We can do all things through Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror when I'm with him. We try to put this performance on you and me that says it has to be done like this. You come into that complete relationship, you're going to want to do it like that. But it's not by me telling you you have to. It's by you becoming into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, who died and raised for our forgiveness. Yes. The same as the thief on the cross, and he looked at him and he says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Do you see, the kingdom of God is here? And it says people will not inherit the kingdom of God when they do so many things. I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is this lifestyle that we live. And you will not be living in the kingdom of God here on earth when we're doing goofy stuff. But when we understand what Jesus has done for us, the kingdom of God is all around us and we're in it. Proverbs 18:14. Says the human spirit can endure a sick body. But who can bear a crushed spirit? As a church, I feel that I've crushed spirits because people have wanted to perform the way Pastor Mike was saying, perform, and they couldn't do it. So all of a sudden, because they couldn't do it, even if I didn't say anything to them, they crushed within themselves because they couldn't live up to a standard that I was trying to set up. God is in charge of everything. All things in life pertain to him. Everything. Whatever I do, good or bad, He's in control of my salvation, and He's in control of your salvation. People will question, well, does that mean I can sin? And people will come with all kinds of thoughts. You won't even ask that question once you try and find the true freedom in Jesus. You won't even ask that question. If you have the question in your mind right now, well, can I sin? Then you're not understanding the freedom of Jesus Christ. His ultimate gift, and you, when you get that, you won't want to do anything wrong to begin with. Because it's a finished work. Peter. Matthew 18, you don't have to turn there, verse 21, 22. Peter's talking to Jesus, and he says, I have a brother that has sinned against me. How many times do I have to forgive him? And Peter thought he was being generous. How many times do I have to forgive him, Jesus? Seven times? And Jesus says, no, you need to forgive him seven times, 70. Peter, in the natural, as a man, thought, seven times, that's generous. Do you see, Jesus has always laid out something bigger and something better than what we are. He's always laid it out. When you believe that you have shown favor on somebody, God has shown favor. When you believe that you have been nice to somebody, God is the ultimate of nice. When you believe that you are an overcomer, He is the ultimate overcomer. When you believe that you're in perfection, He's the ultimate perfection. It's all about Him. In everything that we do, in everything that we say, it's all about Him. We talk about performance. A scripture that I know is very dear to brothers in here. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is the performance of God working in you. It is the performance of God working in you, not your own performance in trying to please God. When we try to please God with our good works and our good deeds, it isn't us that He's seeing, but Jesus Christ that He's seeing anyways. Otherwise, He'd be seeing the negative stuff that you're doing as well. And the Bible says our sins are forgiven as far as the east is from... Let's go to Scripture. Go to Ephesians, or go to Hebrews chapter 10. Chapter 10, starting at verse 11 in Hebrews. It says, under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifice again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest, who's that? Our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until the enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. Verse 14, for by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. There's a very key point there. Those of you, us, that are made perfect in Jesus are being made holy. Being made holy. I don't know if you got that. You're not holy right now. You're being made holy. But you've heard me preach that you're the righteousness of God and you're the holiness of God and you're cleansed and purified and sanctified. And is that not true? That's true. But when you take it to the point that says, I'm holy. I'm holy. Look at me. I'm holy. The only holiness you have is through Christ Jesus and Him alone, period. We have been made perfect, yet we're being made holy. Through his death and resurrection, Christ once for all made his believers perfect in God's sight. At the same time, he is making them holy, progressively cleansed and set apart for his special use. In their daily pilgrimage here, or in our daily life, we should not be surprised, ashamed, or shocked that we still need to grow. God is not finished with us. He's not finished with us. And you may have areas in your life that you need to grow in, and that's okay. Recognize it. And God will change it. But not by anybody lambasting you, telling you you must change. It has to be your relationship with God that will create an immense, great life forever after change. And that is, church, how we're going to see victory. That is how you'll see revival. I feel revived. I feel revived. I've been serving the Lord going on 10 years. Some of you, maybe all of your life. But I am understanding the grace of God like never before now. And you know what? Tomorrow, as long as I seek him, it'll be even stronger. And when you start to build that grace, that understanding of God's love for you and your life will transform, transform, transform. You won't be conformed to this world, but you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind, knowing what Jesus has done for you on the cross. Turn your Bible to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, starting at verse 4. It says, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved." Whose Bible says that? You see that? "It is only by God's grace that you have been saved." It's only by his grace that we've been saved. "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms. Because we are united with Christ Jesus, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed." When you believed. He saved you by grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for it. You can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we've done. Salvation is not a reward for good things that we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us new in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. Do you see through him and understanding and knowing him, we will want to walk out the good works. But all good works prior to that, prior to God, mean nothing, absolutely nothing. It is our belief in Christ Jesus and what he did for us on the cross that brings us to a complete understanding that through him and him alone, we are saved. And that's where your journey of salvation begins. That's where your life is made new. That is where you can now walk and not stumble. How many times should I forgive him? 7 times? God says, no, 70 times 7. His way is always better. When we believe that we are perfect, when we believe that we've just done the right thing and everybody else is wrong, it is still as filthy rags to God, because our perfection lies in Jesus alone, not in your own works. Are we created for good works? Yes. And in James 2, it even talks about that we are created for good works, and faith without works is dead. But that faith that you have and those works that you have go hand in hand, and your faith in God came first before the works. Your salvation is not based on what you've done, but because you love Him and He loves you, it'll now be based on what you do. Jesus is our high priest, yes or no? I was just listening to this today, but it pertains to this today. Does the high priest represent God to man, or does the high priest represent man to God? Think of the Old Testament and give me your answer. The high priest represents man to God. Who's our high priest now? And so what does he represent? I hope you can get that. Jesus Christ represents us to God. We don't represent ourselves to God. The high priest does. That's in Hebrews 5, verse 1. Hebrews 5 and verse 1. In your Christian walk, don't perform. Don't perform out of your own trying, your own striving. I believe over the years I have said some motivational things to motivate you, but my motivational sermon will never change you. My motivational sermon may give you a good feeling, or that was awesome for that day. And maybe you might grab onto something and it may do something. Maybe it was life-changing, one thing in there. The only one to change your life forevermore is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and Him alone. If you walk how I or others want you to walk, you will be in a performance, a pressure of performance, and it will take you out every time. Because guess what? You are not going to meet my standards every time, and I'm not going to meet your standards every time. You've heard it preached from here before. If your faith is in man, you're in error. It has to be in God. It has to be in Him. I hope we can understand this. Perform in a manner worthy of the blood sacrifice from Jesus Christ. Can we do it? We can do it in Christ. We can do it in Christ. Everything. Do you ever get that scripture that says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and then we step out and we try to do that all thing, whatever that all is, and you don't do it? You fail at it? And then you think, well, wait, how did I fail if I can do all things through Christ? It's because you're trying to do it within yourself. You're making the statement, but you're not walking it out. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. But when we take these things out of context, and you believe or I believe that I'm perfect because of Jesus, and not I'm perfect in Jesus, there's a difference. Do you understand that? There's a difference. Are you forgiven? You're forgiven. Are you loved? You're loved. And you're capable through Christ Jesus. Don't focus on your earthly mistakes. Focus on the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Focus on your acceptance as a child of God. Remember this. We fight against sin not to be saved, We fight against sin because we are saved. Let's pray. Father, we're not able to do anything without you that's pleasing to you, God. Father, I pray that we get the understanding that everything we do that's pleasing to you is because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Not because of our ways, not because of who we are, not because of our position in life or the job we have or the good we've done. We're pleasing to you because we've accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that there be renewed relationships with you, Jesus, that we would come into a place of knowing you like never before. Father, I pray that if anybody listening or watching or that is here today has fallen from you or has never known you, that they would come to know you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. That they may be able to walk out a life that's victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we just love you. I ask, Lord, that you would bless my family that's here today, my family of believers, and that you be with them throughout the week, and that they submit and hear your word and your message of love and grace in Jesus' name. God bless you.